What's up, y'all? This is D'Angelo Russell, and y'all listening to the Drive the Lane podcast. And this is your owner once again, D'Angelo Russell.
Welcome back to Drive the Lane. We are back. Michi's back. Felix Akpara's back. Bruce Thornton's back. And we're back for another great show. We're going to talk Buckeyes, transfer portal, little Diebler action, little March Madness Final Four predictions, thoughts, how'd our brackets do, / how are they doing? And it's all presented by our friends over at the Butcher's Tap and McGee's. Head on over to Butcher's Tap and McGee's. You should definitely go there all summer. Definitely go there all summer. But you really need to go there for the final college basketball game of the season. You have a great time over at Butcher's Tap and McGee's. But you won't have as good of a time as we think it's going to be being an Ohio State basketball fan next year. Who cares about March Madness, Joey? Thoughts on what we know about next year's roster, transfers, Michi, all that. I'll let you take it whatever direction you want to take it.
Yeah, you know, it's very exciting. You know, the Diebler era is exciting. It is very crystal clear that he has the backing of the fans, the collective, and the players. Like, there's no doubt about it. First of all, before we get into it, how ridiculous is it that these teams that are in the tournament still have to also be recruiting the transfer portal? And
crazy.
Like, that's just insane. Yeah, like, Underwood was like, yeah, I got one assistant doing the scout for the next game, one assistant doing the scout for the current game, two assistants in the portal every day. Like, it's just insane. But anyway, for what we know for Ohio State, like you asked, Andrew, first-year head coach Jake Diebler is going to bring back, sure seems like, the core, right? You know, you lost Scotty Middleton. You're probably going to lose somebody else. You've got Michi Johnson back, and he's almost part of the core anyway because he was just here. You got Bruce Thornton back. You got Felix Akpara back, which what I said on Twitter as we're recording this today, but as you're listening to this yesterday, you know, the best wins for a lot of the teams in this transfer portal NIL era is not necessarily who they're bringing in. It's who they're keeping, right? And keeping Bruce Thornton, one of the best point guards in college basketball, but definitely in the Big Ten, keeping Felix Akpara, who is a rising star at the center position in the Big Ten. You know, it's like assumed that Devin Royal is staying, who was incredible.
Those were the three we said, yeah.
Right, you know.
Is it safe to say no news is good news, or is that are we too early in this new era to have that?
It's just so funny because, like, I exactly what you're saying is, like, I didn't come out and say I'm coming back for my junior year. Granted, I'm not the best example, but, like, Jayshon Tate didn't say, "Yep, I'm not going in the portal. I'm staying." Like, it's obvious if you weren't going to the NBA and you were a great player, you're most likely staying unless something crazy happens.
Yeah, I thought the Bruce and Felix, there were some rumblings about Felix transferring, yeah. But the Bruce thing, I was like, wait, he was not coming back?
Absolutely. I saw rumors everywhere about him going to Indiana, going to God knows where. It's funny because the truth of the matter is, and I've had this conversation with a million different people, when I was in school, you were on a one-year deal. But that one-year deal was a scholarship, right? It was if you do the right things, you get good grades, and you're an asset to the team, you're going to come back and have that scholarship again the next year, right? If you do something to get kicked off the team, or your grades are bad, or you're a bad apple, whatever it is, like, that's part of the deal, is you got to uphold your end of the bargain and you could be gone. Now it's still one-year deals, but they're like one-year player option NIL collective deals where guys like Bruce Thornton, and honestly, rightfully so, like it or not, are going and shopping around like it's free agency because they can get more money. They can go to a better team. They can go to a better situation depending on which player you're talking about. And so there is like a little bit of the need to announce that you're back at this point. There shouldn't be, and maybe it'd be more fun if it wasn't that way, but, you know, like, just like Cody Bellinger was a free agent for the Cubs this past year and he re-signed with the Cubs, sure seems like Bruce Thornton got a little bit of a raise at Ohio State and, you know, maybe upped his NIL deal from the foundation by a few hundred thousand dollars for all we know. right? So I don't know if no news is good news for the best players, but it might be no news is good news for the young guys. So, I mean, the writing is on the wall. Michi coming in. There's that Princeton guy that we offered, which he's an Ohio guy. He's a Columbus, Central Ohio guy. Like, is he going to go anywhere other than Ohio State? Who knows? Like, the writing is on the wall that Bowen Hardman's gone. Scotty Middleton's gone. There's going to be more guys leaving, right? Is it Roddy Gale? Is it, you know, Kalen Etzler? Is it Austin Parks? Right. I mean, obviously, I'm just throwing names out there. Who knows? I mean, Michi and Bruce. Bruce, obviously, but Michi didn't transfer to Ohio State to come off the bench or to sit, right? And we've talked about this offline, Andrew, like a lineup that's Bruce, Roddy, Michi, Devin Royal, and Felix Okpara is solid, but is that going to be an option next year? I don't think so. I just don't think so. I love Roddy. I hope that it all works out. And Michi's plan all along was to have a three-headed monster with those guys. And it very well could be. I really don't know. I don't know. It's just a numbers game. And guys want the ball and guys want to get paid. And there's only so much to go around. I will give credit to where credit's due. The foundation is doing an unbelievable job. They are friends of the Drive the Lane program and are very great guys. Who are doing a lot for Ohio State, but you know, Brian Schottenstein, Corey Schottenstein, Bill Lewis, the list goes on and on. Those guys are doing a phenomenal job. The rumors that I'm hearing is that Ohio State basketball is going to start spending like Ohio State football. And that's a testament to obviously the foundation, but their trust in Jake Diebler and having the players here right now that, you know, make it a good chance to win. It's just funny because in this new era and you're really like Ohio State is fortunate because they're keeping those guys like we already talked about, but you are looking at probably a new ish roster year in and year out. You know, that could be because you're bringing in four freshmen. It could be because you're bringing in seven transfers, but there's going to be a lot of new faces on the team year in and year out. For Ohio State, maybe it's a little bit less this year and more next year, who knows, but it's off to a good start. Michi coming back. Like he's not 17-year-old Michi Johnson that reclassified. He is 19, going to be 20-year-old Michi Johnson, who averaged 16 points a game in the SEC last year and was the best player on a tournament team. Keep Roddy in the equation, take him out of the equation. What we know right now is Bruce and Michi are going to be in that backcourt. That backcourt already is as good, if not better, than any backcourt in the Big Ten, which that wins you a lot of games. So in Jake Diebler, we trust. Diebler ball is in full force. They got it rolling down there in Columbus. Bronny just entered the portal tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State's name is thrown out there. I mean, obviously for a million different reasons, but Ohio State's not done. There's no way they're done. There's no way the foundation is done. There's going to be some new pieces. They still got to get an incredible wing, right? Like a Jameson Battle. Bruce and Michi are, that's a lot of shooting. That's great. You know, if you're going to play Devin Royal and Felix Okpara a ton, you probably need some more shooting as well around those guys. So I would imagine they get more shooting, whether it's the guard from Princeton or more pieces on the wing. But it's a really good start. It's a really fun start. And, you know, Ohio State basketball is in a good place. I'm very bullish about this upcoming season with there's going to be more changes to the staff. We haven't even talked about Coach Dickerson, who was my coach at Ohio State for 2 years. Freaking love him to death. Can't wait for him to be back on the sidelines with Ohio State. There's a lot of pieces there that are exciting. I mean, there were rumors that Diebler wanted Bryce Drew from Grand Canyon to come and be an assistant coach, but then they went ahead and won a game in the NCAA tournament. So he's probably not going to leave. Right. So it's exciting stuff. So there's way more to happen to the staff and to the player to the roster here in the next few weeks. It's just, it's like free agency. It's just wild. It's just absolutely wild.
Super quick on Bronny, just so we can put it in the title of the episode, clickbait it a little bit. Let's say his name starts coming up. You think, you know, better or worse chance this time around that he comes to Ohio State. And the reason I think better is because there was the LeBron Diebler little back and forth. He was putting him on his story. You know, he was saying, you know, the word around town before he was putting the stuff on the story was that LeBron's choice for Ohio State, which is so stupid, but LeBron's choice for Ohio State was Diebler. So I just think there's more buzz around it this time around.
There's a way better chance because he was never going to Ohio State the first time around because he wanted to start and play a lot and be a one and done. And that's not something that Ohio State doesn't promise anybody, let alone LeBron James' son. I mean, like, you know, they're not offering that to anybody. Guys have transferred because they've asked for that when I was in school. So, like, it was just never going to work. He quickly realized, LeBron and Bronny probably both realized that, hey, like, maybe the situation and the fit is a little bit better than asking for a lot. And maybe he wants to go somewhere and win and contribute to the a right amount. And he can have a little homecoming just like his dad did. So I think it's definitely a better shot this time around for all the reasons we just talked about. And it's just a matter of if there's space and opportunity for him. I mean, there's just like, you know, if Tayson Chapman leaves, that gives another roster spot. If Roddy Gale leaves, like, obviously all the guys who have not recommitted are up for this debate of if they're staying or leaving at this point.
It actually, and with Michi coming in, it makes sense that someone else would leave, giving space for Brian to come in, you know, off the bench. And
I mean, for all we know, the foundation is saying to player X, and this is purely speculation, we are not going to pay you next year because Brownie wants to come. Is that the actual words that they're using? No, but what guy is going to stay and not get paid in this day and age? Probably nobody, you know? So it's just, it's crazy. It's like getting, Fran Fraschilla said it perfectly on Twitter. He said, a lot of these guys that are entering their names in the transfer portal are getting fired. Like,
fired, yeah.
Now they're getting fired and they're told, you will not play, you will not make money, you will not do this, this, or that, whatever it is, you should leave. Just like an employer, and, you know, fortunately me and Andrew haven't gone through this, but an employer says, you're not performing, we have somebody who can replace you, goodbye. You know, so. Wait,
I got breaking Bronny news.
Give me some breaking Bronny news.
Have you seen all the stuff he's been tweeting?
He's going to Cal.
Well, he also tweeted the Ohio State one.
Oh, did he?
Is this his account? Yeah.
Respect tweeted, for engagement farming. I respect it.
He tweeted,
you should tweet from Drive the Lane, quote tweet that and say, breaking news, Bronny James commits to Ohio State, in parentheses, we had it first or something. So that in 3 weeks when he commits to Ohio State, we could be like, we did it.
I just quote tweeted and said, That's crazy. I can't believe he's doing that.
I can. He's going to do the same thing with Oregon probably too.
Well, I'll tell you who he's tweeted so far. This is so stupid but so fun. Duke,
Ron Brownie watch. Duke, yes.
Duke, Ohio State, West Virginia, and Cal.
Following Tucker DeVries to West Virginia. Respect it.
Yeah.
Oh, he actually tweeted Cal. I was joking.
Yeah.
I saw that his like post about entering the transfer portal had Cal in the background. So I was like, oh, he's going to Cal.
No, that he didn't even say anything about the transfer portal. He just tweeted.
Oh, maybe I misread it. That's hilarious. Bronny.
This was the only thing he tweeted. And people thought he was saying he was going to Cal. This is crazy. What if he goes to West Virginia? That would be hilarious. All right. Enough about Bronny.
Country roads. You'd be singing.
Enough
that.
About Bronny. Let's talk about, you know, a little Final Four March Madness action. I know that you got some change on UConn winning. Is that what your bracket?
I don't.
Who was your team?
UNC.
UNC. So bracket dead.
Yeah, I mean, I have two Final Four teams and I'll have one national champion participant, but my champion was North Carolina. Just to be different, like, in order to win these pools, like, you got to hopefully pick the upsets, you know? I know you did a pretty good job of doing that also. So, I mean,
I felt good.
Fortunately, I've had a good March. I was at a friend's for Easter and we all took like three different bets in the Duke North Carolina State game and they all lost, but we had a blast watching, like, my dad and his friends. Like, we took NC State race to 10, and the Middlebrooks missed a free throw that would have gotten us to 10. We took Duke, like, live -8.5, and they lost by 15. You know, it was just hilarious. But I've had a decent March, fortunately, beyond the that future bet. But the NCAA tournament, like, really hadn't delivered until the last few games. Like, there were so many upsets besides, like, Yale and NC State and Oregon. Like, there were a couple teams here and there that were winning these games. But, like, there were blowouts left and right, and the good teams were blowing out teams. And, you know, Kansas stunk and blah, blah, blah. But all of a sudden, you've got a Final Four that has so many different awesome storylines that include UConn trying to go back-to-back, going up against Alabama in their first Final Four, who's coached by a guy who was teaching math 11 years ago, and all they do is shoot threes. And if they make enough of them, they absolutely can beat UConn. And then the other side, you got Purdue with the back-to-back player of the year in their first Final Four in 25 years, going up against the Cinderella NC State with America's – obviously they're America's team, but America's player in DJ Burns as well. I mean, it's just – you know, I pray that there's a battle of Purdue versus UConn, because that will make for very exciting television. And I think that that would be the most competitive championship game. But who knows what happens at this point? I mean, Alabama is playing freaking awesome, and NC State is the team of destiny. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a really fun game, couple games.
Do you see me smirking over here?
Yeah. I was gonna ask what that's all about.
Breaking news. It's a Bronny fan account that has 90,000 followers, and
oh my gosh,
have had a few replies, including Jardy telling us that's a fan account. However, most followers ever for a fan account, right? 90,000.
You should respond to Jardy and go, so that is,
I'm with you though. It's like most fun would be NC State Bama. Most, I guess Clemson versus ED would, most like March upset, wild, can't believe this is happening, would be Bama NC State. Most likely, I would say, is Purdue UConn. Obviously,
yep, going out on a limb there. Yep.
Well, but. What I was going to say with that is, like, there's different storylines for each. It's like most likely is UConn dominating, but then the Purdue being the second team to do what Virginia did, which is weird that both that would happen the second time ever.
That'd be pretty cool. Big Ten winning a championship for the first time in 25 years. That would be awesome.
What do you think of
45
like,
years, not 25 years.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What do you think of like Coleman Hawkins tweeting, I'm rooting for Purdue?
No comment, because I've done stuff for Big Ten Network, but you know how I feel about rooting for teams in the conference. I have a tough time doing that.
What do you mean no comment? You've said other stuff on the show about teams you hate. You hate.
Yeah,
Penn
no,
State.
I know. No, I think in all seriousness, at that point, you're like, okay, I understand. Like, we made it to the Elite Eight. They're in the Final Four. Like, you can root for them at that point. Like, I have a tough time. I have a tough time rooting for the Big Ten, because it depends. I was rooting for Nebraska. I was rooting for Michigan State. You know, I wasn't rooting for Illinois. It's almost like the marginal teams you're rooting for, but the really good teams, you're like, I don't. But Purdue, I'm like, oh, they have a really good chance of winning it all, so I'm going to root for them for sure. Like, Illinois, their fans are what bug me the most. Nothing about the players. I love watching them play. It's just an interesting dynamic of when you were in my shoes and you're in the trenches and you hated these teams for 4 years. Every night you're like, God, I want to beat the shit out of Northwestern, you know, like, and then it's like, all right, you see those guys on TV. It's like, how in the world can I root for them? You know, that's the dynamic I have right now. You know, if I was getting paid to talk about the Big Ten full time and was constantly on TV, I would probably have a little bit of a different opinion, but like that, I'm rooting for Purdue because at this point I want them to get the first championship in Big Ten history. I also think they have the best chance to beat UConn, but man, do I think
not
Alabama,
Big Ten history,
my history since I've been alive.
Well, in the history of this new Big Ten, I guess.
But no, I think Purdue rolls against NC State. Like, I think the slipper finally doesn't fit. The clock strikes midnight. And I've said that like every game for NC State, and they just keep winning. But UConn, Alabama, that game is going to be fireworks. I am so excited. UConn is like a huge favorite in that game. I really think Alabama can win. If they shoot 45, 50% from three, they shoot like 35, 40 a game. Like, they can absolutely compete in this. I mean, UConn's probably going to roll, but they can absolutely compete if they're making shots.
I just can't believe what they did to Shannon, which was just insane. The top scorer in the tournament. And you think that like Sears is the guy that could be like that for Shannon. Obviously this Grant Nelson guy from North Dakota State. Obviously he's been, you know, more of a story because of where he was, but like Sears is what drives that team. And I don't know how he gets it done when Shannon couldn't, but I also think the, like what sucks about college basketball, the tournament's been great, but like Klingon could get two fouls in the first 5 minutes. And it's just like, all right, now it's a completely different game. You throw out the script, you throw out the game plan. And it's not like that's unlikely. It's not like it's impossible for that to happen.
UConn can beat you so many different ways. They don't even need Klingon to be in there at all to win. They can win with their A game, their B game, their C game, their D game.
They're so good.
They're so deep. They're so well coached. They play so hard. They're so disciplined. It's up to Alabama. If they shut down Mark Sears, then there's no way they can win. But if Mark Sears has a Mark Sears-esque game, the only issue with Alabama's philosophy in this game is they shoot an incredibly high percentage from two because they're all layups and they shoot threes. The threes won't be an issue. They'll get their threes off like they do every game. But now their twos are being guarded by Donovan Klingon, who did not get scored on one single time against when Illinois played them.
Right. So
it'll be an interesting game. I think that will be a way more fun game. And even though the spread is probably more, I think Alabama has a better chance than NC State does, which is funny, but you know, that's why they play the games. We'll see what happens.
I think Edie against Burns is going to be just so crazy because
Burns is going to get two fouls getting off the bus.
Well, but yeah, it's the same thing I'm saying about Klingon potentially. But like, has Edie ever had a matchup like this? I guess he played Dickinson, you know, all those times with Michigan.
I mean, Edie just, the Big Ten has so many great bigs. DJ Burns is different. Like he's 6'9".
That's what I'm saying. Just like a matchup like this. Like I wouldn't have expected him to just manhandle Filipowski the way he did. Like it just wasn't like it.
God, was that
matter.
Embarrassing for Filipowski? Oh my God. We've had our long struggles with him as a player and watching him and rooting for him and rooting against him. But holy cow, if that dude was gonna be a lottery pick, I can't look myself in the mirror and take him after him being manhandled the way he was. It was crazy.
I was so proud of my reasoning for Duke, which was every year there's a fringe lottery guy that shoots up the draft boards because of what he does in March Madness. And they have three of those potentially with Proctor, Filipowski, and McCain. Proctor is going to be nowhere near the lottery. Filipowski might be back at Duke next year, but McCain is like, McCain's stock's awesome. Never been higher.
And he's 2 days in the college and three lectures behind, and he's still that good. It's amazing.
So stupid. We love it.
I'm such a huge fan of his. And maybe it's because he paints his fingernails and so does the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears next year. But either way, I am I really like his game. I saw that he is getting slotted to go to the Knicks at like 13, which would be crazy. But I agree with the Duke thought. They had no business beating Houston. If Jamal Shedd doesn't get hurt, they lose that game by 15. But good on NC State for – it's funny because, like, Purdue being in the Final Four, right, like they're playing in an 11 seed, which is great for them. You look at the teams that they could have played, right, through different ways. Like it could have been Houston or Marquette and, like, all these teams that got – upset by other teams. Like NC State has kind of gone through a little bit of a gauntlet to get where they are. You know, they didn't have to play Houston, but you know, they had to beat Marquette. They beat Duke. I mean, Texas Tech wasn't that good, but like when you're 11 seed, you're only beating single digit seeds most likely the whole way home. So,
well, they did play Oakland. I just can't believe round that they two, were. But
what?
They did play Oakland round two, but like that, right. They were. That's most teams get the Oakland in round one. They had Oakland in round two, and
it was a good
reward,
game. Like Oakland
Marquette.
Played well. It wasn't like they beat them by 40.
It went to overtime.
Insane. I just can't believe that NC State was one made free throw away by Virginia from not even being in the tournament. And Kevin Keats is really the biggest winner because he gets a 2-year contract extension at the end of all this. He's in a contract year, and in his contract, there's a clause that says if you make the NCAA tournament or win the ACC tournament, or there's a few different things, you get an extension. And he was in a contract year and going to get fired, and instead he's going to the Final Four and getting an extension. It's just insane. Basketball, college basketball is just the best. I mean, it's just unbelievable. DJ Burns owns a bunch of vending machines, and he's doing TurboTax commercials, and everyone's hating on Edie for scoring 40 points. Like, I mean, it's just unreal. It's just unreal.
Edie's great. I don't care about the foul narrative around Edie. He's unstoppable. It's not like he's going like 10 of 40 from the free throw line. Like, he's knocking down the free throws too, which is like, adds to his dominance.
I saw the perfect statistic is, okay, well, here's how other 7-footers have fared in college basketball. If he's just tall, then all these 7-footers should be great too. And his efficiency and shot making and his plus minus, all this stuff is like in a different hemisphere of anybody not named Zach Edey. Like, Zach Edey has a few years that are in the same hemisphere, but this year especially, he's like off the charts in terms of 7-footers that have played high major college basketball. Like, he's just in a different world, which makes sense. I mean, he's amazing. Is he frustrating to watch sometimes? Absolutely, but he's amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going to end up being back-to-back player of the years, which is
if he wins
crazy.
A championship, he'll go down as one of the best college basketball players ever.
Well, even just Edie aside,
in a roundabout way.
The last few years, you got Garza, Oscar Tshiebwe, Edie, back-to-back years. I mean, that is going to happen. But, you know, that the big men in college basketball, the big man is officially back. You had a big stretch of Buddy Hield, Frank Mason, Jalen, Zion, which is like big man, but not a center, not like post up back of the basket, Obi Toppin, and then all of a sudden the bigs have just run through it the past few
years. No stopping Obi Toppin.
I don't really see that changing, to be honest. I think the bigs are back.
When you're getting old in college basketball now, the bigs are just staying old, and NIL is making these fringe big men come back every year. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
All right, real quick before we get out of here, how freaking fun is watching Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, I took her 7+3s. That was sick.
You're going to be the reason that gambling gets like shut down.
What?
You're going to be the reason that like you can't take prop bets anymore.
I just love prop bets. I could care less about a spread ever again. I love prop bets. No, she is unbelievable, transcending the game of basketball, men's or women's. People are locked in, tuned in. Everybody's talking about it. I'm sure your group chats that are normally talking about golf and the Bulls and whatever are now talking about Caitlin Clark just like mine are. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I was rooting so hard for them the other night. I just want to watch her play more basketball. I mean, like,
yeah,
she is polarizing in the sense that she is like kind of obnoxious and annoying and complains and whines a little bit, but she's also a superstar. So like, you can do that when you're a superstar. She's so fun to watch. I mean, it's just, she's amazing. It's ridiculous. It's very cool. I can't wait my dad says he grew up and watched Michael Jordan, and I get to say I grew up and watched Caitlin Clark, you know?
Well, what's cool is, you know, I feel like the UConn stars and the older age of really good WNBA players, like, usually there's one player a year that's like, oh, this is the best player. They're miles ahead of everyone else. But usually they're just like bigger or stronger or taller. She's just like the NBA version of the best player.
WNBA.
No, I'm saying like she's what like the best players in the NBA look like, where they're scoring in any way they can. It's not just like, oh, well, she's the tallest, so yeah, she's
there,
the best.
Yeah, it's there was a long run of UConn winning every single year, and like Breonna Stewart won like 4 times National Player of the Year, and every year she like they just dominate and win everything, blah blah blah. Like now there's a little bit of parity. You know, Stanford has an incredible player, LSU has incredible players, UConn has incredible players. Like there's a lot of really, really good players, and she's just the best of a lot of really, really good players. And it's fun to watch. Just like, I mean, we're basketball purists. Like, would we rather watch Zach Edey or would we rather watch Caitlin Clark? Like, that's just the matter. That's just the truth of the matter. People gravitate towards guards more than they do big men and
yeah,
or women. And Caitlin Clark is unbelievable. She is.
I want to ask you something. I haven't watched a million games. Do they still say the big men or do they say the big women? I can't imagine they say the big women. They must just say the front court players, right?
That is one big woman down there. Yeah, I don't know what they big, just the bigs.
Yeah, they play through
He's
the
a
bigs.
Great big.
I mean, it's funny. I haven't listened enough.
The five woman.
Enough. Yeah,
they say guard your girl or guard your man. Like, you know, that's
yeah, they play man to man, right?
Yeah, it's a man to man defense. There's a lot of questions that need to be asked.
Yeah,
woman to woman defense. It is fun to watch. If you're not watching the NCAA tournament, women's NCAA tournament, it is the matchups were so much more fun this past few days than the men's that were the past few days. I mean, now in the Final Four, you get Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark. I mean, that's just the dream. I feel like next year they're going to rig the NCAA tournament to get the best matchups because the women's games are just awesome in terms of individual matchups. It's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, Edie Klingon, if it happens, is like all you can.
It's going to be like two giraffes fighting and just hitting their necks against each other the whole game.
I mean, we would have had, if Creighton would have beaten Tennessee, it would have been Kalkbrenner, Edie.
I don't know. Dalton Connect versus Edie was pretty freaking awesome. It's
yeah,
just,
but that wasn't like,
anybody is not the same.
Yeah. But big men actually matching up. Like, that's why I'm excited about DJ Burns and Edie, because they will be.
Yeah, except for DJ Burns is going to have two fouls before the first media timeout. Sorry.
Which would suck.
Yeah, America would hate that.
He's so good. He's so fun to watch.
Both of them.
It really sucks to see someone living your dream, which is what DJ Burns is doing, which is just being huge and dominating.
Yeah. We shall see. Else? I got nothing else for you. If you're listening to this and you're going to Phoenix, Scottsdale, Glendale, whatever you want to call it for the Final Four, I'll be there. Let me know. Happy to chat, grab a beer, whatever. Excited to be around a bunch of basketball knuckleheads, and next year me and Andrew will both be there, so it'll be fun.
Absolutely. Where is it next year? Do we know yet?
I think it's in Vegas. That's why I assumed we'd both be there.
I love it. Buckle up. Wait. Who are we gonna? What? How are we gonna do this?
I think it's just
Ohio
go
Ohio State.
I think it's just go Buckle
schedule. Akron, next game.
All right.
You ready?
Ready.
Buckle up. Drive the lane.
Go Buckeyes. Beat the Zips.